I'm Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
And your reporters for this final pre-season 4 blab edition of the Starling Tribune, covering off-season developments and announcements leading up to the season 4 premiere of Arrow. I am Stargate Pioneer, my friends call me SP, and with me are Chris.
This town started going to crap the moment you put on that hood.
And Mr. Neil.
Oh, more arrows, more hoods, more leather. Bring it on.
Bring it. And of course, as I said before, I am SP. Our friends need our help. We should already be in the car. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, October 1st, 2015, live on the Blab streaming service and streamed via Mixlr, Spreaker, and on YouTube. We are just a few guys that discuss the TV show Arrow. Just a little reminder that I am not a comic expert. I'm just a fan, and I'm actually a sci-fi guy. But I'm catching up with the comic lore a little bit thanks to folks like Chris, our resident comic geek for the night.
I try to educate you as best I can. Sometimes it doesn't stick.
It's a little dense in the head, right? And Mr. Neil, a lapsed comic fan, has returned to the fold in full, I might add.
Oh, I am back with a vengeance. No thanks to all the enablers around me. I'm looking at you, SP.
Well, you keep sending me those audio files for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., so that's all good, too. And thanks for all the Arrow comics that you've been sending me. I've gone through most of them, so it's really cool.
The first one's free. It always is.
Yeah, first taste is free, SP. After that, you owe. Yeah.
All right. As we mentioned before, this podcast will be covering news articles and announcements that have been broken, that have been announced, that have been published during the Arrow summer hiatus. So it will contain spoilers for characters and plot lines that are going to be introduced in season 4. So, as Wing always says, consider yourself warned. You could still catch up on our rewatch in shows in the off weeks at our archive found at GunnaGeekNetwork.com or also our iTunes feed or anywhere else that you get our podcast. So we are a mere 6 days away from the season 4 premiere. Oh, so cool. Now, it's on CTV in Canada, right, Neil?
That's right. It's the CW affiliate up here, which is great because it actually shows Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well as The Flash. CTV's picked up all the geeky goodness for us.
So what you're saying is they cross the streams a lot.
Oh,
you've got
nothing
Marvel
wrong with that.
And the DC, and I'm just like, whoa. It's like dogs living with cats and everything's gone insane.
Dogs and cats living together.
Okay, so nice. I have a request, Neil. Coming up on one of our off weeks, we'll probably still podcast that week. I would like a tutorial on the Canadian stations like CTV, like Showcase, like Space, and what they have and what they don't have.
Oh, we can definitely talk about that on the off season. It'll blow your mind.
Already blown.
Exactly. Mind blown.
I've got some PIM particles just going in. Oh, cross the streams there. Oh, no, I crossed the streams. Yes, I know. Anyway, so we have some news and notes to cover. We already covered a lot about the overview of the season before in the previous podcast that Neil was on with us. Right, Neil?
That's right. Gosh, it feels like so long ago.
Right. So throughout this podcast, we'll be talking a little bit about where we want to see the show before it airs in season 4. Back in the mid-season finale, which, you know, hopefully will be a Christmas party because we like Christmas party. Yay.
Say the word mid-season finale a couple times longer because Big Papa's in the chat room.
Mid-season finale. Did you understand that, Big Papa?
Yeah, the mid-season finale.
And I like the penultimate mid-season finale as well as the mid-season finale.
You know what I like better than all of that? The mid-season premiere.
Ooh. Well played.
Nice. Golf clap.
Yay. All right. So we do have some general news that has popped since we podcasted last time. And the first one is a new promo trailer that just dropped a couple of days ago, and you can find it on Den of Geek or on YouTube. What do you guys think of it?
There's a couple of new scenes, and especially this one highlights, I think, the fact that we're getting Green Arrow this season. And I know that Stephen Amell made a big deal about that at SDCC this year, but they're embracing it wholeheartedly. I don't think it's just going to be lip service to the character. They're going full Green Arrow, and that's music to my arrow-loving ears.
You knew they were headed this way eventually anyway. Just took them 4 years to get here.
At the beginning, I thought, well, it might just take a season or two. And the fact that they haven't changed the name of the show always left a nagging doubt that will they or won't they? Is this going to be a Nolan-esque type of thing where, you know, they want to make it legally distinct from Green Arrow? But the fact that they've gone there, I'm a happy guy. I think a lot of fans are too.
Finally getting what we needed. Green Arrow.
Now what you need is Stephen Amell to grow that bad goatee that Ollie has in the comics.
He has said continuously in multiple interviews, there's no way we're ever going to get that goatee.
I know, it bums me out. It really does.
I want it for Halloween 1 year, or maybe for that'll be his cosplay at one of the cons, to come out in the big Van Dyke with the blonde mustache and the blonde pointy beard, and just for the summer, just once.
If they do a Halloween episode of Arrow, he needs to come dressed up like the Oliver Queen out of the comics. Like, what? I just thought it was cool.
They do have an actor coming on season 4, jumping ahead a little bit into the news. We'll get it in detail later. But Neil McDonough has been on several shows where he sported the stash.
That's true.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe he'll shame Steven into doing it. We'll see.
One can hope.
Or better yet, for Halloween episode, Ollie dresses up as Errol Flynn with the pencil mustache.
Yes! Ew. That would be awesome.
That would.
Writers, you can send your royalty checks to Starling Tribune.
Stargate Pioneer, I'll make sure it gets distributed just fine.
Yeah. You know, Steven said that for years now and I haven't gotten paid.
What do you mean?
Just saying.
We were talking earlier. You got the little check in the mail. You bought a Porsche with it, you said.
Yeah, a Porsche Matchbox car.
Matchbox car.
It wasn't a real car.
So moving on into new news a little bit, Wendy Miracle, who is the, I guess, co-executive producer is her title, right, with Mark Guggenheim. She came out and with a 1 minute, 47 second video, which is long, by the way, when you're watching it. And she was delving into season 4 and what's going on with Speedy, what's going on with Felicity and Ollie and Diggle and stuff like that. So no spoilers, nothing that we hadn't already seen, but we actually saw the visuals, the shots that went with the overview.
I think what's really cool about Wendy's new video is she's definitely highlighting all the strong female characters in the show. And I think that's one thing the writers have historically done very well. Maybe they have some well-deserved criticisms for last season's portrayal of Felicity, maybe not as strong a character as she needed to be or had been previously. And I think they've heard the fans. They've heard the public outcry that this has historically been a show about strong female characters, about Speedy, about Sarah, about the whole Lance family, and they need to go back to those roots. I think you've got a couple of women, great women on the writer's crew and on the producing side, that are going to make sure we get that. And I think that's what Wendy's video was all about.
The one exception I'd make to the strong female characters is Laurel in season 2. She was a messed up puppy, and of course, they took her through the arc, but it was so drawn out. It's like, come on already. But then she came out of it and, you know, she came back strong in season 3. She was basically leading Team Arrow in Ollie's absence. So that was pretty cool.
And Chris, you're a big Laurel fan, right?
Oh, I love her. She's my favorite. That being said, she's kind of grown on me as season 3 progressed and became a better character. I don't know. She kind of became less whiny and annoying and more of, hey, I can do this, and was kind of empowered by the Arrow to be helpful finally. I don't know. My thoughts have started to change a little bit on her. She's still not my favorite character.
I think it was great how she was empowered by not only the Arrow, but in the Arrow's absence, Wildcat. She was empowered by Nyssa. She's had these great mentors that have developed along with the character. And I'm really interested to see where the mentorship goes. Does it go full circle and return back to Ollie now? Has she been fighting with Diggle, and one would assume in whatever the new Arrow Cave is that they've continued training and sparring? Now it's Dig's turn to probably take his shirt off while they're sparring, but it's interesting to see this arc.
What about the salmon ladder? Dig's got to do the salmon ladder,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Dig's got, he's a big guy.
Yeah, I have faith in him. If Stephen Amell can do it, he's almost as big as Diggle is. David Ramsey's pretty jacked.
I'm pretty close to be doing that too. Okay, so let's back up to Laura. Where do you think she's going to be at the mid-season finale? Or where do you want to see her at the mid-season finale?
You don't want me to answer that.
Yeah, you're taking the first one, man.
Dead.
Now, wait a minute. You're killing off both Lances? Because last podcast you said that Quentin's going to die. So you're killing off both Laurel and
Quentin?
It's okay,
though. It's okay, because Sarah's back. It's okay.
It's the only Lance that matters.
Everything's good. The only Lance I care about.
And Jay, you know how to get a hold of Chris, and actually I have his address if you need it. Get the diapers ready, buddy.
I've said before, I think that I had some issues with how quickly Quentin changed and became just kind of jaded and bitter and kind of an a-hole. And it seemed out of character how quick that transformation happened. And it doesn't look like we're going to see him morphing back into a willing participant in working with Team Arrow. So, I don't know. I'm just not a huge Quentin fan right now. I want to like him. I love the actor that plays him. Maybe that's a credit to the actor that I dislike Quentin so much, but still like him.
I don't think they're going to kill him, and here's why. Because they need somebody in the Star City Police Department. And he's the only continual guy, because Roger Cross is not available right now. He's got dark matters and he's got other stuff on his mind and his work schedule. So I just don't see him coming back. And besides, isn't he dead? I don't know. I thought he died and then he came back. So I'm confused on the whole thing.
Now I'm thinking back a couple weeks in the CW news, and the character of Lady Cop, which is one of those terrible 50s DC character names, is she coming onto Flash or is she coming onto Arrow? I thought she was an Arrow edition. So we're getting a named DC character joining the Star City Police Force that could take his place.
Yeah, that's tough. That's rough.
It may bode rocky times ahead for our friend Quentin.
It's been rocky times for 3 seasons, so what's another season?
Jay, if you're listening out there, you need to weigh in on this because Quentin's not getting any love, buddy.
Jay should be happy. I used a Quentin quote to open the show.
Yeah, yes, you did. See? Yes, you did.
That was for you, Jay.
So that's one vote for Quentin is dead and Laurel is dead at mid-season from Chris.
No,
SP.
I don't think Laurel's actually dead. It's just fun to troll like that because everyone expects me to say that. I think that she is going to continue to develop into a character that I begin to like more and more versus the whiny, it's all your fault, Oliver character we had for 2.5 seasons.
Okay, well, Constantine is around. He's going to be in this universe. We're actually going to see him, so he could be around to bring her back. We'll see.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, great point.
All right, so we talked about the new trailer. We talked about Winnie Miracle stuff, which are awesome. If you haven't seen them already, go ahead and do that. And then there was an article that I read from TV Insider about 5 awesome things happening in Arrow. Neil, number 1, what do you got?
Well, there was nothing new on this article. I think everything is something that we've talked about in the off season, but it was nice to get them all in the same place. So Green is the new Bleak is how they started off this list. And a lot has been made about the fact that with the move from Arrow to Green Arrow, with the move from Starling City to Star City, and with the commercial success of The Flash, that we're going to get a happier, lighter tone in Star City. And Stephen Amell actually came out and said, listen, we're still going to be at night. We're still going to be on rooftops. Don't worry. We're not forgetting what made us who we are. So it's still going to be bleak, but it's going to be green. It's going to have a slightly different tone. Things are going to be slightly happier. It's not going to be all doom and gloom. So that is definitely an awesome thing happening this season on Arrow.
It won't all be doom and gloom, but there's plenty of darkness coming.
Oh, good segue there. I was going to give it to you anyway, Chris. Please talk about Neil McDonough.
Neil McDonough. I was going to say Neil's right here, but the other Neil we have coming to Arrow. Neil McDonough, he might know better as, I don't know, Dum Dum Dugan from the Captain America flicks, is coming
also
to play.
Also in the HBO series, Band of Brothers, and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, so Damian Dark, the character was introduced last season as the nemesis of Ra's al Ghul. Well, it appears that he is the big bad for this season, as we've seen in the trailers. And it looks like he has powers of some kind, because he puts a hand out like that and stops an arrow from hitting him. I'm really curious to see the nature of his abilities, and maybe that's part of why Constantine gets called in, is because he has to consult on what Damian Dark is capable of.
I'm impressed he's stopping a CGI arrow in midair. That's impressive.
Okay, touche. Point taken.
Well, you got to also think how silly the actors probably feel holding up and then pretending to have, you know, stopped the arrow. I think they've talked about that in some of the DVD extras, that with all the CGI stuff, sometimes you feel silly.
Yeah, sometimes. But the form is still there for a lot of the actors, and that's all that counts, right?
Exactly.
It just matters how it looks on camera. So the number three thing in this article was same city, different name. And yes, we're transitioning to Star City, not Starling City. And some of that is actually an homage to Brandon Routh. And some of it is just that, well, the city keeps on getting destroyed at the season finale every year. So you got to give the residents a little hope to stay, right? So if we change our name from Starling City to Star City, maybe the same thing will keep happening at the end of every year where we have a good portion of the city that's destroyed.
Yeah, but I'm not sure changing the name of my city is really going to help me with my property values plummeting.
Oh, come on. It happens all the time.
It's marketing, man.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, good point. It's going to go viral, man. It'll go viral.
Absolutely. Okay. Number four. I'm going to give this one back to Neil. So number four.
Because you know I'm a shipper at heart, right?
Exactly. That's me. Exactly. Yeah, well, I knew if I give it to Chris, he's not going to be nice about it. So
why wouldn't I be nice about it?
All right. You want it? You got it. Elicity. Chris, go.
Oh, hey. Yeah, please, man. All
Shippers
yours.
Unite. The producers have said that they have no plans to break up Oliver and Felicity. I might be a slight Elicity shipper. I don't know. I enjoy it. I think it's a good fit for the two characters. But they said their joke was they'll make it last longer than the first episode, which beats our record. Which I thought was hilarious. Honestly, what they're intending to do is to explore the nature of their relationship as a couple, and according to the producers, they have no desire to break them up before that. That is not them saying they'll never break up, but it seems like if you're an Elicity shipper, you'll have them together for a good chunk of the season.
In the other room, I've got all the Black Canary and Green Arrow trade paperbacks, and come on, guys. We know this isn't going to last. You know, why fool yourselves? It's Laurel and Ollie. That's canon.
I agree with you on what the canon is, but here's the problem. There is minimal chemistry between Katie Cassidy and Stephen Amell, and sparks fly between him and Emily Bett on screen.
Okay, so you're the producers of Arrow, right? You know where this has to go eventually. How do you do it?
Let me point something out real quick. Smallville, they didn't actually put Lois and Clark together until like season 8, and Smallville went 10 seasons. Just saying.
I got nothing. I got nothing.
I think there's a good way to do it right now. You've got to let things develop and progress, and you have to organically have the falling out of the Elicity relationship, probably. And then from there, you could look into potentially finding a way to join them back together. But the problem is, the way they've portrayed Oliver's relationships on this show, his great love right now, if you had to pick any of the women he's been with, is probably Sarah.
Yeah.
It's not Laurel.
Two birds of a feather. Yeah.
Chris, I heard the voices of a million shippers scream out and then suddenly become silenced.
Yeah, I know, but...
Okay, so Jenny Stevens in the chat has said two things. I'm going to take the first one and then we'll move on to her question. So she said, canon versus fan shipper love, which wins? Now, I responded back to her in the chat and I said, well, it's the CW network. So, you know, the shippers kind of have a little precedence, a little bit, right? Right? So what do you guys think of that?
I got to give it to the shippers on this one. Yeah. If the chemistry's there, they don't care about the comic fans that are stomping their feet and saying, me, 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 I've got all the trade paperbacks. They care about the people that are watching the show. So
yeah,
I'll give it to the shippers.
Exactly. So her question is, okay, so that brings up a great question. As geeks / fans, how are you all with deviations from canon? Now, I'll give you a couple of examples that I will say I'm okay with. So, the rebooted Battlestar Galactica, I'm okay with that. I mean, the transition from Starbuck, from male to female, there was a lot of changes that were made that were in good taste. I will also bring up the reboot of Star Trek, which a lot of people were like, why are you doing this? You had this continual universe from 1966 until the Star Trek 10, and now you're breaking it? What are you doing? They did it so well that they didn't break it. They actually continued that universe and created a new one. So I was okay with that deviation. Now, what do you guys think?
It depends on how well done it is, and it depends on how much I love the original canon. That's the thing, is if I really love something, it's really hard for me to be like, okay, I'm cool with that. Like, for instance, I'll make a parallel. Star Wars. I read almost all the expanded universe books up until about 5 years ago. And then Lucasfilm gets bought by Disney, like, hey, all that stuff you loved, it's gone. It's in the Star Wars Legends stuff. It never really happened, but they're just good stories. And a part of me is still really butthurt by this, because I spent hours and hundreds of dollars on these things that I loved. And it's like, Now they don't really exist.
It exists. It is still there. You still have those memories. You still have it on your shelf. It's just, what do they call it? An alternate universe? The Legends? They've got a name for it. It's Legends. Still there, man.
It's just, honestly, I think for some people, it depends on how much they love the original canon. For me, the changes they make in Arrow, I'm cool with that most of the time because Green Arrow is a character I enjoyed, but it is not like my favorite superhero. It's a comic that I enjoyed reading from time to time, and I've loved the TV adaptation. Same thing with Smallville. I'm not a huge Superman fan. So I enjoyed the retelling of how things went with that, kind of the more modern twist they put on things and the younger orientation of it. So I could be okay with that. But if you've heard me in any of my other podcasts, you know how much I raged about some of the stuff in The Amazing Spider-Man, especially the fact that they changed the iconic line of with great power comes great responsibility. And I ranted about that for like 5 minutes on an episode of ATGN. And that's because to me, Spider-Man is one of my favorite superheroes of all time. It's one of the first comics I ever read. So it's really hard for me to let go of that original thing and see a twist in this case on that quote that was nowhere near as powerful.
Okay. I said I'm okay with the deviations. Here's where I'm not okay. Exactly what you said, Chris, when it hurts. Transformers hurt hard.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Bay, I nothing you. Get out of my universe. Go and never come back. Okay. So I will tell you something that I'm very, very careful of right now is they're working on a Robotech live action reboot or re-envisionment or whatever. That is my favorite sci-fi of all time. You take that away from me and oh my gosh, I am just going to be so mad. I'm going to rage against the machine on that. So yes, I will agree. If you really like something and they don't do it right, you're going to be a little screwed.
And then the problem is everyone has their different definition of what's right. There's not going to be pleasing everyone.
I don't
think
you can please everybody. Exactly.
I think that's some things that as I've gotten older, I've kind of come to that realization of just because I don't like the way they might have retold it or switched something, it doesn't mean it's terrible to everyone, just to me.
We're allowed to have our personal preferences, but I think at the end of the day, you know, we've all got to be a little Disney and just let it go, you know, and just enjoy what we're given. Regardless of where they go with the relationship between Felicity or what they do, we cannot deny the fact that we have Green Arrow on TV, a character who 5 years ago I would have never expected to get. So whatever I get, I'm happy. I love that other people are enjoying the character.
And in all honesty, I laughed at first when they said they were going to do a new Green Arrow show and make it a dark, gritty reboot. I was like, oh, here we go. They're going to nullify something else.
A lot of people did that with Iron Man too, right, in the MCU, and look at what that's brought us. So it's all good. I'm going to move on now. Neil, you'll take the last one. Legends of Tomorrow. What do you got?
Well, they're saying that in the top five things, Legends of Tomorrow won't run rampant. And again, the article references the mid-season spinoff from Flash. They're saying that there's going to be a balance maintained, that the new characters won't be edged out by Katie Lotz and Brandon Routh, that it's going to be a nice balancing act, and there's a lot of Arrow story to be told in the Arrow without relying on Legends of Tomorrow. So I think what we're going to get is Sarah be reintroduced along with John Constantine, and then she's off traveling through time with Rip Hunter doing her thing, and we'll let the Arrow characters take care of Star City. And that's fine by me.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So also, moving on to the next story, we actually had a description drop of the second episode, The Candidate. Now, in a previous podcast, we dropped, what, the first 8 or 9 episode names that they were out? And the first episode description that has been out for a while, Green Arrow. Now, the second episode description came out. And Chris, why don't you take this?
So the second episode we have is entitled The Candidate. We talked about that before. Jerry Ryan is guest starring, and they're introducing Echo Kellum. The episode description says, when an old family friend, Jessica Danforth, tells Oliver and Thea that she's going to run for mayor, the Queens are concerned, considering the last three mayors have been murdered. Despite their protests, Jessica makes her announcement, so the Green Arrow and Speedy vow to protect her. Meanwhile, Thea begins to exhibit effects from the Lazarus Pit. In addition, Felicity is faced with a tough business decision and looks to one of her employees, Curtis Holt, guest star Echo Kellum, for help. John Barrick directed the episode, written by Mark Guggenheim and Kito Shimizu. I might have messed up his name, I'm sorry. If you're listening to us, Kito, I apologize. Send us a voicemail, let me know how to properly say your name, and I'll get it right next time.
Out of the three of us, I'm glad it wasn't me that tried.
I knew you were setting
Kito, if you do respond to Chris, please tell me why you didn't respond to my tweet last season when I had serious issues with some of your script choices in season 2.5 of the comic.
So
I want
to
know.
It sounds to me that you should tweet Neil @NeilIsn'tWitty and let him know that and how we messed up saying your name on this show.
Or if you prefer, at Nelly Isn't Witty.
Yeah. Well, Nelly Isn't I'm sure Witty. That may or may not get to me.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on. Season 4, Episode 7 has wrapped principal photography. They are smoking along. What do you think are they going to get by the mid-season finale? About Episode 8, 9? That's been about what they've been running for the previous three seasons, right? So they're almost done filming the first half of the season.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think why Episode 7 is really important, that being a resident of Star City myself, you see the crews around town, which is pretty darn cool. You see various landmarks. But more than that, this is the directorial debut of James Bam Bam Bamford. So for the first three seasons, Bam Bam has been the fight choreographer for the entire show. And we all know the quality of the fight scenes in Arrow. So if you take a look at Bam Bam's IMDb, he's got no directing chops. This is it. But the amount of choreography he's been doing, the amount of setups, you know, one would assume working with photography, working with the director to set up the best angles on some of these fights, they're giving him a shot. And that's awesome. I cannot wait to see it. If you take a look at the tweet that Steve Nomel put out with the wrap of principal photography, it was pretty darn cool. He said they had 200 extras on set for the final
shoot.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, that's massive for an episode called The Brotherhood. So I don't know if we've got Roz coming back for this one. We've got more of Hive or something all new, but you can assume it's going to have amazing fight scenes.
They've had a couple of choreographers, and for the life of me, I can't remember their names, direct episodes in the previous couple of seasons. And I think it's a great fit for the show, especially in an action-heavy show, because you need either choreographers or cinematographers to actually set up the shots.
Totally.
And move them as they go along, especially if you're working with scenes that are done so well where you have multiple fights going on at the same time. We've had three, we've had four on Arrow. Other shows are doing the same thing. I love the multiple action that comes through a crescendo all at the same time. It, as a fan, I'm like, this is why I'm here. This is why I get up and down and jump into up and down on my couch. That's the cool stuff that we get in TV these days. So it's awesome. You know what else is cool that we get on TV?
Why don't you let us know?
Mama Smoke.
There's somebody that's made a smoking joke out there already, right? Tell me I'm not the first one.
She is awesome. I love her. I would love to hang out with her and just, you know, have some fun. You know, watch little Sarah in the background while Diggle's off, you know, doing what he has to do. It'd be great.
So apparently Charlotte Ross is being reintroduced back in the season, Episode 6. They saw her performance and they've like, let's tweak the script going forward. We need more Mama Smoke. And I think we can all agree more Mama Smoke. That's a good thing.
I'm conflicted on this one because she's been fun because it's in such relatively small doses and entertaining. I don't know if it's going to be as fun if she's around more often. I think part of what makes it so fun is it's so different a character.
It's like a relative that comes to stay for a little while. Coming in and out sometimes, especially with the story when it's cut on a cliffhanger or whatever, it just is awkward having them leave right away in the middle. Take a look at the early crossovers between Flash and Arrow when you had Felicity going back and forth. It was a little odd, like, what's happening when? What's going on? So if they're able to stay a couple of episodes, you get that. Now, admittedly, it's not concurrent, right? It's Episode 6, Episode 9, if I remember right, and 10. Is that right?
Yeah.
So 9 and 10 are concurrent, but 6 is not. So maybe if that's all it is for the season, that would be great. And besides, you know, she's got to meet and interact with the man in Felicity's life.
Okay, fair enough. I just don't want them to overdo it. Sometimes that's what I worry about in some shows, because people find a character that you really like, and then they're everywhere. And look at The Walking Dead, for instance. I really like Daryl Dixon as a character, but he started to resonate with people, and it's like, put Daryl in everything now. We have to do it. And I don't want to see that happen with Mama Smoke.
But that's how we got Felicity, don't forget, that they put Felicity in. She resonated with the fans, so they brought more in.
Okay, touche.
I think they're seeing the same thing. And Flash. Let's say that's how Flash happened.
So he just resonated. To continue the theme that we kind of dropped a little bit ago, at the mid-season finale, I see Mama Smoke in Vegas at the Vegas Christmas party. What do you guys think?
Yeah, sure. I don't even know how to respond.
Well, she lives in Vegas, right? So,
and wearing something outrageous. I mean, that's what we can expect from Mama Smoke.
She's not going to be there for the mid-season, unless it's Episode 9. I guess she will be. So yeah, she'll be at the Christmas party in Star City. Yay! Be all good.
I want them to somehow break into the mansion and throw a party. It's been too long without a mansion party for the queens.
I know. I want to get back in the mansion. Definitely want to get back in the mansion. All right.
Not sure it's going to happen.
Okay, so Mr. Terrific. Yeah, I know you're thinking it's me. And it is. I trademark it. I copyright it. But I gave it to DC so they could have it for this season. And thank you for the royalties. I appreciate that. So what do we got this season with Mr. Terrific?
This is considered news. It was covered by all the news sources on September 30th. So yesterday as we record today. And it's the first stills have been released of Echo Kellum in action, kind of hanging out with Felicity. I think we've already seen him. Perhaps we haven't been able to pull any images or high-res images from some of the trailers, but they're out promoting him. And from the sounds of things, we're getting him in the first set or in the second episode in The Candidate, because that's where Felicity turns to him. Bring it on. I can't wait to see what they do with the character.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm open to anything that's new characters that are pulled from the original comics.
Yeah. Not having the strong comic background, this is all kind of new to me. So I enjoyed learning. Like, I'll cross the streams a little bit. Marvel Universe, Jessica Jones. I didn't know a thing about Jessica Jones. I know a lot about Jessica Jones now. It's fantastic. Kitty Pryde over in the X-Men. Didn't know a thing about her. Know a lot about her. Love it. So I can't wait to see Mr. Terrific and learn more about him. So moving on, there was a very, very, very long article indeed. It is spoiler heavy. If you have not seen season 3, it is all of the Easter eggs in the entire season, and it's page after page after page. So if you want to go read it, have fun. If you're a DC comic fan, go click on the show notes. I put it in the chat here. Go ahead, read it. It is a fantastic article, and it's right up Neil's alley.
And you know, I would be really curious to see how many of the items on the Starling Tribune's DC checklist were covered off in this article, because it's something that the viewers and the listeners that you guys are listening or watching to us will see as we go through the season, that we're going to have the DC checklist and trying to call out the Easter eggs. I guess at the end of the season, if Den of Geek stays true to form, we'll be able to check ourselves against articles like this, see what we missed and see what we got right, and maybe even see what we caught that they didn't.
That's true. They might not have caught everything, especially with comic experts like Neil and Chris.
I catch some of it. I don't know that I catch all of it.
It's a lot of credit, man.
So we got two additional news notes here, and they're both casting news. They both deal with Legends Tomorrow. Chris, what do we got first?
So Legends Tomorrow, they've expanded casting, and they've added Hawkman, if I'm reading this right. Peter Francis James has joined the cast of Legends Tomorrow in the key role of Dr. Aldous Boardman. He doesn't appear hail from the comics, but will first appear in the Arrow crossover episode revolving around the introduction of Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
I love that they're setting this up in Arrow. They could have gone with setting up Legends of Tomorrow in Flash, but I think with Brandon Routh and with Sarah Lance being Arrow characters, it made a lot more sense to introduce them in Arrow. And I like the precedent that it sets. They introduced Flash in Arrow. They're introducing the Legends of Tomorrow's characters in Arrow. It's a nice way of saying, listen, this is where the DC television universe springs from. It springs from Arrow. That can't be understated.
Absolutely.
Arrow's the godfather of them all here.
Even Marvel. I mean, Marvel didn't have a television comic book show on. Arrow was the first. Okay, it's not the first ever, right? But it's the first modern era one. And it's been going on for 3 years as the fourth season. Flash only has one season. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. only have two. So this is the one, the longest running in the current crop. So that's awesome. Okay, so we have one more Legends of Tomorrow ad.
Yep, so they've introduced another Legends of Tomorrow character, the character of Valentina Vostok, actress Stephanie Cornelison. Wow, I butchered that one. From the show Mr. Robot, which I have to admit, I have not seen the press photos of Stephanie. She's a gorgeous actress, and I'm sure that she has the acting chops to hold her own on this show.
She does.
Producers have done a great job in casting all along the way, even with Laurel, Chris. So, I can't wait to see what they do with Valentina Vostok.
So, I did see Mr. Robot, not all of it. I think I'm one episode shy. I'm definitely one episode shy. I might be two episodes shy. The show took a turn that I'm not sure I was entirely comfortable with. But besides the fact she was a phenomenal actor, and I can't wait to see her in this, because she's definitely got the chops for something like this. I can definitely see it. So, that's all going to be cool. All right, so any last stabs at where you want to see characters at the mid-season finale? Where do you think Oliver's going to be? Do you think he's going to be alive, or do you think he's going to be dead again?
I think he'll live through this mid-season finale.
Okay. What about Diggle?
He's got that sweet new Dignito helmet, so I think he's alive.
Yeah. Look, Diggle is basically the Daryl Dixon of Arrow. If you kill Diggle, people riot.
I think if you kill Felicity, people riot harder.
Okay, that's true, too.
I would rage quit the show. I mean, this show, Starling Tribune. I wouldn't be doing this.
But you do know, SP, that could be one way they make Ollie and Laurel get back together again is by killing Felicity.
We're not shipping again, are we?
They could bring her back as the Oracle at some point in time. I know they're not going to do that, but it's a possibility, and I could see that happening. So
the question I'm wondering is, at the mid-season finale, will the Green Arrow be a hero, or will he be a vigilante? Will he be wanted? Will he be celebrated? What do you think Star City is going to think of Green Arrow at the mid-season finale?
I think they're going to be, oh, this is just the Arrow back again. I mean, honestly, he looks the same. He just has no sleeves.
But they've disbanded the Vigilante Arrow Task Force. Now they have to form an all-new Green Arrow Task Force.
Yes, exactly. And they're going to wear green armor just so they can tie into this whole green theme we have this season.
Nice.
All right. Okay, we're going to move on to some comic news. We have a trade paperback that's hitting the shelves, or actually hit the shelves, yesterday.
Yeah, so if, listener, you go back and you're listening or watching any of our prior shows, you'll know I've been a big fan of Arrow Season 2.5, which has been a direct-to-digital publication by DC Comics. At 99 cents on Comixology, coming out every other week, alternating with Season 0 of The Flash, it told the story of what happened between Season 2 and Season 3 and leading up to Sarah being killed by Malcolm and Thea. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yes, spoiler alert.
Anyways, it's a great chance to now pick it up all together in one story. If you're more of a trade paperback or a trade waiter, this is a great way to read it. It tells some great things about how Roy got the leather lace-up suit and went from the hoodie to that, how they get all the trick arrows when they're living in the basement of a nightclub, what happened, how other members of the Suicide Squad got killed while on missions, and why you only see a couple of them later in the season, in Season 3. Definitely check it out.
Absolutely. Go ahead, check it out. And something else you need to go check out, and that's a Pop Funko giveaway. Neil put this in our group chat, and I clicked on it, and it gives you four choices. So, gentlemen, what did you choose? What was your vote?
Oh, that's easy. Mine was the emergence of Malcolm Merlyn as the new Ra's, but that's because I suffer from being afflicted with the curse of Team Barrowman. Anything he does, I want to know more.
My choice was Thea stepping up as Speedy. I am a big Thea fan. I think she looks great in the suit. And I'm being a bit meta with my choice here, because whoever clicks on the most or whatever of these choices gets the most picks is probably going to influence the next Funko that comes out. Come on, that's why they're asking. And I want a Speedy Funko.
I also chose the Red Arrow. I mean, Speedy. I mean, the Red Arrow.
Yeah.
Guys, call me Red Arrow. That was fun. It was in one of the videos we saw earlier. That was awesome. All right. Thank you, Neil, for that. And then IGN is getting us ready for Season 4 with the, yes, top 10. Kira's going to love that. Top 10 Arrow and Flash toys.
Some of these are awesome, too.
Yeah, there's nothing new in this list. It's a great way to aggregate some of the collectibles from Arrow and the Flash, focus on the CW. Some things that I didn't know, like the Arrow bookends around the clock tower. Awesome.
Save the clock tower.
You're just going for those Back to the Future references today, aren't you?
Marty, it's the kids. Okay, I'm done.
I don't even know where to go from here now. I'm so confused. Yeah.
I like the Deathstroke action figure. It's number 6 on the list. It is the most awesome.
I've got a hankering for the Flash Central City cop badge, actually. I don't know why. It's calling out to me.
It's number 7 on the list, and it's right there, too.
It's number 1 in your heart, SP.
Although the Arrow pen and paperclip holder at number 9 are pretty up there too.
So SP, if you want to hate me, I have the Deathstroke action figure upstairs. I just haven't hung it on the wall behind me yet.
Awesome. Can't wait to see that.
It's so cool looking.
Is it still in the box?
I saw it in person. Yeah, it's still in the box. And I saw it in person. Like, this is beautiful. I must have it because I love the Arrow Deathstroke figures. I have the 2-pack they put out for the season 1 and early season 2 when it was still the Billy Wintergreen version of Deathstroke on the island character, and it's really cool.
The island, the Billy in season one, that was awesome. My wife recently watched all of Arrow earlier this year, and it was good seeing that again. Absolutely. Oh, what do we got?
Oh, there we go.
It's the hood.
Sorry, I can't see the camera as well on Blab to be able to make sure you can all see it properly.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I got to keep my geek swag close by.
I know, because you got to pull it out for Blabs and stuff like that. All right. If you are listening to us here on Blab, watching us here on Blab, we are actually part of a network, aren't we, Neil?
We are part of the Gunna Geek Network, a network of podcasts and other geeky goodness. We've got forums, we've got a website at gunnageek.com, and we've got other geeky shows, one of which is All Things Good and Nerdy. And I'm going to turn it over to Chris, who may know a thing or two about this week's episode number 178, The Willy Experience, Part 3.
So there's been a frequent guest host on the show by the name of one Willie D. Nelson, and we don't mean the famous singer, to join myself and my co-host Anthony, focusing on some news about Spider-Man in the MCU, specifically that he's a young teenager now this time around, the fact that the Star Wars Battlefront beta will be open to all gamers, so if you want to try Battlefront and you have a next-gen console, you're in. And then finally, the rumor that Hayden Christensen will appear in Star Wars 8. If you want to find out all the details on that, you should really go check out the last episode of All Things Good and Nerdy over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Absolutely. Lots of great geeky shows. If you like comic book shows, if you like geeky shows, there's a show on the network for you. So go check that out. All right. Next week, we've got Green Arrow. I never thought I'd sit on the show. Green Arrow, season 4, episode 1. It's premiere time, baby. It's awesome. It'll be Wednesday, October 7th, 2015. Lots of goodness there. We will be here next week talking about that at 9 o'clock Eastern, or as Neil and Steven say, 6 p.m. correct time. That would be Pacific time. So that's awesome. And with that, before we sign off officially, I will say that thank you to all of the listener here on Blab. We really appreciate that. We will be opening up the seat for the post show. So if you've got something to say, please don't hesitate. Come on in. We want to talk to you. That's why we're doing this on Blab. And we just had to get the official podcast stuff out of the way, and then we'll bring it on in. Do you guys have anything else you want to say for the rest of this week?
I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm so excited. We're under a week left.
I've been waiting for this for months, and now I'm like, it's almost here. And I realized all of the stuff I get to watch next week, and I'm a little giddy.
Absolutely. So after you listen to watch the episode, go ahead, send us a tweet, send us an email. Find all the contact information on our webpage at starlingtribune.com. That'll bring you to the webpage on the Gunna Geek Network. Also, don't forget, we do have a voicemail line, 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Any last words? At Roundtable Nerds on Twitter.
Green.
At Neil Isn't Witty.
I gotta go with Arrow.
And I will
nice.
Go at Stargate Pioneer with Green. This is Ben.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gunnageek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
Oh,
I love your avatar, by the way. How'd you get that?
I stole it as soon as, sorry, my light is really bad. I stole it as soon as the female Thor came out. A friend of mine over at Marvel made it for me. So oh,
that's awesome.
That's nice. Awesome. From Thanks. The studio that brought you the Avengers is Jenny's avatar.
That's exactly it. And I'm sorry I was distracted because I'm watching at the same time the women's NWSL final right now. So I was going back and forth. So
nothing wrong with that.
Nope, not at all. But my favorite show that I have seen and I will continue to watch every week is The Muppets.
No.
This yes. week was actually pretty darn funny.
There are great. I love it.
It's a great show. It really is.
I came out of left field, SB. I wasn't expecting that.
I didn't expect that.
I wasn't either.
I love the motif that they got going on. You know, Miss Piggy with the late night show that they're producing, and they do it the office style with the interview cams off to the side and stuff like that. And with all the stars coming in that are either themselves or their actors on the show, it's great. I love it. And
the Lawrence Fishburne cameo this week was priceless.
It's awesome. I will sit down and watch it with the family. It is that show.
Did you guys have a show? Someone had a show, a blab on Heroes, and I didn't watch it because I haven't watched Heroes Reborn yet. So I've got to play catch up on that.
No, but if you do know of anybody or you want to create a blab or a podcast on Heroes, please contact us at GunnaGeek.com. We would love to have your show.
That was smooth. That was very
well
nice.
Well done, sir. The problem that
to continue on, we didn't ask Jenny when she was on, but to continue the theme for the night, at the mid-season finale, where do you see a character?
A character?
Yeah, just pick a character from the show, and where do you see them at the mid-season finale?
Daigle's wife dead.
Oh, I could see it actually.
This is a bloodthirsty crew we've got.
Everybody's killing everybody. Come on, not everybody has to die at Christmas time.
Well, here's my reason. In season 3, we barely saw her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I think a little bit of that was because they took Argus away from the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 I'd like to see some characters return.
Like who?
Cupid?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Or Cupid.
And Huntress?
Huntress would be fun as well.
Yeah.
We like a Birds of Prey Redux issue.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that would be awesome. And we talked about that with Wendy Miracle, moving up into the executive producer chair, the focus being on strong female characters. That is a natural fit, I think, bringing those two back. So I can't wait.
Anybody?
Going once.
Going twice. All right. So absolutely, if you guys want to jump in after the podcast next week, we will be here for a short time doing an after show. Go ahead and check out the podcast. We will put those in the outtakes in both video and audio, hopefully. So stay tuned for that.